Hello and welcome back to the KFA Leadership Course. Today here in the studio with me is Siegfried Andersen.
Hello.
And today we're going to be speaking about the difference between leadership and management. Now you have brought this up in some of our previous podcasts, but could you just simply explain what is the difference and how does this affect leadership and the management of companies?
Oh, yes, I certainly can. Let me take a deep breath and go back in history. Just to make it clear, I would like to split it up between management and leadership. I start with management. Management is to make knowledge productive. Try to let that hang in the air in a few seconds, to make knowledge productive. If we go back in history, back to the old Egypts, when they built the first pyramids down there, the Khepus pyramid, a long time ago, this was before there were ever done any pyramids, never ever seen before. It was brand new, and the interesting thing was that the engineers sitting there tried to engineer a pyramid. I'm quite sure they didn't have they didn't even have a drawing. They just had an idea up in their brain. And to take this knowledge about how to do this into reality is what I call productivity. So management is to take knowledge into productivity. Same thing with any invention. Thomas Watson or Rudolf Diesel, when he invented the diesel engine, was still to take knowledge. He was a steam engineer. To take knowledge into productivity, that means how to construct and think with your knowledge how to make a diesel engine. This is management. Leadership is quite different from that, because leadership is to let people contribute as much as they can. I mean, constructing a diesel engine, you can't ask your people on the work floor to help you doing this, because they don't know what you're talking about when you talk about a diesel engine. And if you start explaining them that this is a big block of steel where we have an explosion inside, they'll probably run out of the workshop, because a big block of steel with an explosion inside, that's a bomb. That's not an engine. So that is to make this productive. The knowledge that you have up in your brain, your experience from what you've done in the past, being a steam engineer and then construct a new diesel engine, that's something where you take all your knowledge and take it into something different. For example, Gutenberg, he was a guy who invented the printing press. But how did that come? He actually saw down in Italy, he saw how they pressed the grapes. When they pressed white on the grapes, that was one thing. The other thing he saw was he went on there where they punched the coins, and he made the similarities between these two things, and he said to himself, okay, so why don't we, and then he took all these letters and then he actually punched them, and we had the printing press going. This is called knowledge. To let people contribute is completely different, and that is leadership. There's two different concepts behind that. Let me try to elaborate a little bit on that. When we talk about for survival management, we talk about building up a strategy. We set up strategic goal and KPIs, key performance indicators. Then we plan, then we organize all the resources around this. Then we make a budget. And in the end of that, step number six is control. So we put it ahead and try to control. It's all called a command and control system. This is a business model for survival. All the executives are believers, and you get results one-to-one. Let me put it that way, that when you run this concept being as a manager, there's a limit to how much you can expand that, because that's the reason why I call it one-to-one, because if someone of your people during the year come up with a bright idea in April and say, this is a really good idea, boss, so why don't we do that? And you say, yes, I agree, it's a very good idea. But we have a plan, and we have to follow the plan. So I want you to come back with that in November when we make the new budget. Then we can discuss if we want to take it in, yes or no. But now, no way. The interesting thing is that a management system, command and control system, can't be flexible whatsoever. You can't make a change when the business is running, because the results that you want to come out with, for example, in this year 2019, is already decided maybe 5-6 quarters before this date in the autumn last year. We worked on that since the summer last year, and we made the budget in November, and everything was decided, and then we started running this. Then we don't want to change anything, because we want to have that result that we actually predicted. And what you can do with the management system is that you can actually predict how much money you will make that next year. And if everyone do exactly what you're supposed them to do, including the customers, then you'll make exactly what you plan to do. This is a very solid command and control system. This is very different from leadership. Different leadership is beyond survival, but it's all about how to make your people contribute. That means instead of telling them that we can't change anything, you are prepared to change everything when the people come up with the new ideas, and you can actually proactive go out right down the bottom of the organization and ask each and everyone to come up with something that can improve their own job. I say their own job, not the other's job, not a colleague's job, not the boss's job, but their own jobs. When you start with that, we call it 10 pips. We ask people to come up with 10 new ideas, and we ask them to contribute with that, and we have a system how to do this. And then they come up with 10 ideas, and all the colleagues, 7 colleagues, also come up with 10 ideas. Then their boss, the first line manager, he actually have 70 ideas, including his own, means 80 ideas. The task is now to boil that down to 10. These 10 points, you have a discussion, and this is what I call leadership. That means that you lead your people to figure out which one of all these 80 points are the best points. We can't go forward with 80 points. Impossible. Imagine a company with 1,000 people, and each and every one of them have 10 points. We end up with 10,000 suggestions. That will not work. They have to boil it down, so you being the first line manager, you sit down with them and discuss which one of them is most important, and so on and so forth. Some of them we can implement right away. Other one we have to take to the next level, especially if we have to allocate financial resources to them. And up it goes. This is called contribution. We can only do that if we know what we are doing. For that reason, we need a mission. And a mission is something that is larger than life, that we a purpose larger than life that we're actually working on. What does that mean? As I said earlier, we want to have joy at work, each and every one. We want to have well-being at work. We want to create more jobs. We want to have a bigger profit, and so on. It's always something that is placed outside yourself, lasts longer than yourself, and is more important than yourself. This is what I call a mission. A vision, compared to this, is what I call a work standard. That means a vision. We want to be world class. World class means that you are the absolutely best in the industry, and there's a long distance down to number two. This is a vision. It's not something that we are right now. It's placed out in the future, but this is something that we work towards, and we want people to contribute to that, towards that, first and foremost, the vision, mission, and next, the vision, which is a work standard, remember that. So when I say we want to be the best in the industry, then this is a work standard. That means each and every one of us has to be the best in the industry. So compared to all our competitors over there, there's someone who have a job exactly like mine, and I have to be the best. Otherwise, this company can't be the best in the end. This is a vision. We need to have shared values. I call it shared values. What is values? Here we see things that is very profound, because when we talk about survival, I said to you that we have to focus on three things. If we work on survival, that's management, then we work on fix it, sell it, or close it, the company, or a product, or whatever. Service, doesn't matter, same story. This is values. When you work in survival, you have values similar to these three I just mentioned. When we work in a company where we are asking people to contribute, we change the values. Here comes four values. Value number one, people. Value number two, people. Value number three, people. Value number four, people. I say, come on, this is not values. No, that's true. But we continue. One of our values is that people as customers, we want people as employees, colleagues in our company. We work for suppliers as people. We cooperate with them because they are people. And we have shareholders as people. These four values is what I call shared values. We have to make them specific to our company. That means one thing. What should our values be when we talk about customers? For example, second to none service to the customer. What does that mean? That's a value that goes right out to the customer. Second to none service to the customer means that he can't get anywhere else in this world getting a better service than the one that we deliver. This is a work standard, but it's also an attitude and definitely a behavior. So we make sure that we get that every day. This is called a value, shared value for each and every one. When we talk about people, we talk about wealth and we talk about joy, well-being. It's also, we want our people, it should be an advantage for them to work in our company. So how do we make sure that we get that? And the same thing to suppliers, are we the best customer to our supplier, and are our suppliers the best supplier for us? This is a question we have to answer to get this value. Same thing with your shareholders. We want to be the best investment our shareholders can ever do, invest in. This is also a value. So how do we make sure we do this? That means that we have to take the financial value out of the company, otherwise they get somewhere else. We have an ideology. What does that mean? That means if we follow our mission with our vision and our shared values, then we will make money. This is our ideology. This is something we believe in. During this rite, we have rituals. We call them meetings. That means that we meet every week, every fortnight, and try to figure maybe every month, we have monthly reports. I call all this for rituals. And the only thing we want to do is the last thing, to count our successes. How good are we at doing what we plan to do? Literally, the big difference here from the command and control system is that this is a mental business model. This is not real. This is something that we imagine up in our brain, that this is the way we want to do it. In a command and control system, we have all these spreadsheets and all these rules and guidelines how to do things. Leadership is different. This is a business model for growth beyond survival, and this is what I call a mental business model. Everything have to learn to be explorers and try to experiment and try to find new solutions and explain as good as you can to your colleagues around you that I think this here is a good idea. The interesting thing about this is when management have what I call a limit to results one-to-one, I learned over the years that working on leadership, asking everyone to contribute, will give you an outcome 1-to-4. That means that you literally get four times more than you did in the first year, in the first model. And that is the difference between growth and non-growth. Survival, non-growth, the mental business model, leadership, beyond survival. That's it.
Okay, thank you for today, Siegfried Andersen. And remember, guys, you can all go out and check Siegfried's website out on kfandersen.com. He's making a book that you will be able to read shortly. We have these free podcasts, which I think you're listening to. And there are also some more free articles and videos in there. And then, of course, you can also book a training or course on the website as well. So, thank you and bye.